My name is Brian Kinsey, and I'm the pastor of First Pentecostal Church in Pensacola. I'm delighted that you're listening to this message, and I hope it blesses your life. If you'd like to submit a prayer request, or if you're interested in a personal Bible study, you can call us at 850-477-1100, or send us an email at firstpent@firstpent.org. We hope you enjoy this message. It was a summer day. Students from Southern colleges gathered and toured Mr. Vanderbilt's estate, Biltmore, near Asheville, North Carolina. How many of you have seen the Biltmore? You've been there, so you know what I'm talking about. It was an afternoon when nature was in her best mood, and the most magnificent country place on this continent wore its most attractive garb. And these students were driving out of the exit, and somebody with a bicycle passed by, and one of the students asked him and said, "Well, how did you like it?" And he said, "Well, it's fine. It's the best roads I have ever driven on." Surrounded by all of that beauty, and all he could see was the road he was on. Shackled by his own vision, he could not perceive the blessing of the beauty that was around him. A real estate agent went to Egypt, and there he viewed the pyramids. And he went to the Valley of the Kings, and he saw the pyramids, and he was asked, "What did you think about him?" He said, "Very large buildings in bad need of repair." However, Napoleon had a different view whenever he brought his soldiers, and there in the Valley of the Kings, in the shadow of the pyramids, he said, "Soldiers of France, remember that 30 centuries are looking down upon you." The difference is the concepts and the ideals that these men held. Because you better be careful with your concept, because it rules your life. Brother Knowles was teaching when I came out today, and he was just making one powerful point right after another, and I said, "Man, he's preaching my message." I said, "Hush up, get on something else, my friend." And it was powerful stuff, but I have found so many people have the same Holy Ghost, go to the same church, hear the same preacher, and yet they are limited by the concepts that they possess. An offense, or "I can't be this because of what happened to me when I was a child." And they constantly have a concept that shackles them and limits them to become who Jesus wants them to be. And I hate that, because I see so many precious people of God. They have the Holy Ghost. They've been baptized in Jesus' name. They believe the word of the Lord. But because they have this concept or this idea that they cannot be any more than what they are because of whatever it is that happened to them here or there, or what was said to them or spoken into their life. And that's just not true. Every time in my life, whenever I have been hit by the voice of the enemy, whether that voice came from an authority or whether it came from a family member, it does not make any difference. When the enemy has tried to put a concept in my mind to limit what the Holy Ghost could do in my life, Jesus has visited me every single time. Now, I could spend this whole message telling you all about these debilitating concepts and who spoke it and how they said it and everything about them, and then you would walk out of here unchanged and unblessed. Because that's not really what we need to do, is to find out all of the limiting concepts that are here. But I want to give you the master key, the master concept. I want to give you the magnificent Jesus. Because I believe this with all of my heart. People see what they seek, and they find what they claim, and you become what you truly believe. You can say you believe, but what you truly believe is what you're going to become. I believe that everybody here can ascend to a higher level, overcome any crisis, because there is the lifting power of Jesus Christ in this house. Now, I wished I could describe what happens to me. Even when I was a little boy, God would visit me. And I wished I could describe how it works, but I can't really describe it. I can read it to you in the scripture, because I've always done two things my whole life. Always done two things. One is in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 9. Every time I get hit by the enemy, I go to Philippians 2, chapter 9, verse 11. And I want you, if you could put it on the screen or if you could turn there. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow. You don't understand what that means. When he said that, every concept, every idea, every authority, every principality, every power, everybody, what they said, what they did, it will bow. Of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. That means the angels can't stop it. Hell can't stop it. And the earth can't stop it. That every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. There's nothing that can change that text. And all I have to do to activate it is bow my knee and let my tongue confess he is Lord of all. Then that activates the second part, Colossians 1, 16 and 19. It activates every time I do Philippians 2, 9 through 11. Jesus steps out, and this is exactly what happens. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, whether they are visible or invisible, whether they be thrones, I'm talking about kings, dominions, principalities, powers, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and by him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning. He is the firstborn from the dead. That in all things, not some things, not things for you and then not things for somebody else, but then things for the, no, in all things. I want to say it again. Everything, all things, he has, and he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all. You know what that simply means? That means God's your boss whether you like it or not. I said, God is your boss's boss. God is your daddy's boss. God is Obama's boss. God is Trump's boss. God is Putin's boss. God is the boss of North Korea, South Korea. They may not acknowledge him, but I do. And because I do, what they do does not affect me. Oh, hallelujah. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. When I bow my knee, there is no voice. Oh, no, Brother Kinsey, we don't have access to that. That's just to certain people. No, the Bible says this heritage is the servants of the Lord. And their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. that every tongue that riseth against them in judgment, thou shalt condemn. Woo! Hallelujah. For no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And I got to thinking about all of this. I remember Dylan when we didn't know whether or not he was going to live. And I remember when Brother Abe and Sister Bobby and all of us went to the Youth Congress. And Dylan was on Brian's shoulders. And Brian is 6'8", so he was way up in the air. And we didn't know which way we were going. We were trying to find a seat. We didn't know whether we were going to turn this way. He says, "What are us doing?" And from that, to see that 6'6" dude walk and get his diploma is a testimony. I said it's a testimony to the preeminence of God. God is preeminent. Whether you give him that preeminence doesn't make any difference. He can move you over there and then move this over there. He can strike somebody over here. He can lock the jaw up of somebody over there. He can put laryngitis on this one. He can put a disease on that one that ain't even named in the medical books and bring you to your knees. I said every knee. So I don't want God to have to do any of that. I just get on my knees and say, "You're the Lord of all." And every time, woo, there's no dominion, there's no throne, there's no principality that can stop my Jesus. So don't tell me you can't ascend because your wife is this or your husband is that, or because you don't make enough money or you have too much. If you have that problem, please see me after church. I will relieve you of some of it. Amen. We'll fix that problem quick, won't we? But Jesus is the deciding factor. He's the master concept. He's the faultless model of the highest human living. He is the fullest embodiment of truth. He's the clearest revelation of perfect character. He's the best pattern of faultless conduct. As the soul comes under the powerful influence of his magnificent person, you are transformed into his glorious image, seeing what you will seek and finding what you claim and becoming what you truly believe. Jesus is not magical, mythical, or mystical. The man of Galilee is not a tradition. He's not a spirit being. He's not an angel. He is a historical character. And the evidence for his existence in ancient times is more than any other character in history. Jesus is our Savior, but he's much more than just a Savior. He is unlike anyone who has ever lived. And remember that his blessings still work in the here and now. There's an impression upon some Pentecostals that God only helps dead people that are in heaven now. Well, I promise you that Jesus still works now. Because if he can't save here while I'm in trouble, he can't save anywhere. And if he can't do for us on earth what he's doing for those in heaven, then his word is not true. I promise you, Jesus can help you now. He is a present Savior in the time of trouble. He is a present God in the time of difficulty. Woo! Jesus lived under the same conditions that you live under. As a matter of fact, worse conditions, because you have a lot of conveniences that Jesus did not have. His body was subject to the same limitations. He ate the same food, breathed the same air, wore the same clothes, and saw the same scenery and touched the same duties. He grew hungry and thirsty and tired. He was not an angel nor a spirit being, but was flesh and blood. And he was interested in everything that affects you as a human being. He loved people and was deeply sympathetic. Their troubles were his troubles, their triumphs his triumphs. He shared the joys and the sorrows of his fellows. He was profoundly alive to all those and to everything that was going on around him. The world was his study. He plunged into the very thick of its activity, studied its questions, preached and taught about its duties. And everything he did it with intense passion. He was not some cold intellectual spark of divinity. He was more than that. He was God manifest in the flesh. He entered into all life that was shared, and he sanctified everything. Even his death was sanctified. Everything he went through and he touched, he sanctified it. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus was not a product of the earth, although he was a man. You can't explain Jesus from earthly terms, because there was something about him that was greater. Its schools could not produce such a teacher, nor could society produce such a leader. Its temples couldn't produce this kind of prophet and preacher. There's no earthly explanation for Jesus. You can explain Cromwell and Washington and Gladstone and Shakespeare. All of these warriors and statesmen and philanthropists can be explained. You can analyze their lives and find out what made them great, and you can define it. But Jesus of Nazareth is without explanation. He was not the offspring of just mere humanity. He was the product, and he was the seed of a woman. But I promise you, it was the Holy Ghost that overshadowed Mary. He was not the product of an evolutionary process. He came from heaven, and he belongs to another world. He was sustained by divine power, wielded heavenly authority, and he lived his life with an unearthly peace. He walked through the storm unmoved. He could sleep in the midst of the storm while the boat was going down, and then wake him up and rebuke it, and the storm calmed down. Tell me who could do that. I said, tell me who could do that. He is worshipped as a holy, mighty God. Jesus was more than just a good man. I know there are those that approve of his life and his teaching. They endorse the way he lived. They declare it's the way we all should live, but they cannot believe that he was divine. But I've come to declare to you that Jesus was more than just a man. He stands above all the rest of us, and he stands solitary in his greatness and in his goodness. Jesus stands clothed with the power to save and to invest himself into our lives and reclaim you from the horror of it and lift you to a higher ideal. To say that your concept trumps God tells me that you're God and not Jesus. And when your concepts become divinely inspired and you think that your idea of what's going on in your life right now is the highest idea, I might be experiencing it and you might be experiencing it, but it's not higher than my Jesus. Jesus was magnificent in his miracles. Today, science is producing wonders. Cell phones and computers and modern miracles can be explained and understood and duplicated. Disease never baffled Jesus of Nazareth. Medical science reaches a point when all prescriptions fail and everything the hospital can do cannot bring you back and cannot give you life and cannot produce health. But Jesus could speak to disease and it would have to leave. And not just one person got healed and one out of 1,000, but Jesus healed everybody in the town. The hospitals emptied out. The sick beds emptied out. He breathed and there was healing. Death could not stand before him. He routed death. He broke up every funeral. He burst open every tomb he so spoke to. He said, Lazarus, come forth. If he'd have said, come forth, the whole graveyard would have got up and walked out. Jesus has the power over your crisis. Don't tell me that you're too limited and that God can't do it. I've seen God bring people back from the dead. And if he can do that, he can lift you above your crisis. Not only did he conquer death in others, but he allowed death to get a grip. Its icy fetters came around him, sealed him in a tomb. And then as easily as one who steps through the yielding air, he slips the fetters, breaks the chains, and conquers death. Now, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not trying to be unsympathetic towards your situation and whatever concepts limiting you and shackling you. I know you're on the road. I know all you can see. You're at the Biltmore. It's a beautiful day, and all you can see is the road. Bless your little heart. I understand that. I understand you think you're right. The pyramids are very large buildings, and they're badly in need of repair. However, we don't know how to fix them. We don't even know how they were built. We can't even figure that out, much less fix it. But yet still they stand in bad of need of repair. But that means there are some things that are going to last regardless of what generation is in power and regardless of what happens. Some things are just going to stand. And I believe that God is letting me know in this service that you can be free from whatever has limited you. I'm not unsympathetic towards you. I'm just simply trying to get you to the altar stairs and let's ascend together and let's declare Jesus is Lord. Let him have the preeminence in your life. Quit dictating to God what he can't do and turn it over to him and let him do whatever he can do. I said, Jesus is magnificent. I said, Jesus is magnificent, and he wants to be magnificent in your life. But I've sinned and I've messed up, and there's no way I can be any more than I am. Jesus triumphed over sin at the cross when he bore your sin in his own body. He became sin so you could be free from sin. You don't just get baptized in Jesus' name to please Brother D.L. Welch. You get baptized in Jesus' name to wash your sins away. That past is gone. I said the old man is gone. Jesus is magnificent. But what is the source of such greatness? Where did he get it? Earth has not made him great. Wealth, position, genius, money. He didn't have any of those things. Jesus didn't even care about them. He was poor. He was humble. He was a Galilean fisherman, that a part of their group that he called into his ministry. I mean, Jesus was just a simple man, called fishermen around him. He called Peter of all people. And asked him to be a part of his group. Jesus was great, not by earthly standards, but something else. Something else made him great. I mean, earth hated him. Earth did everything they could to stop him. Why is it that the one anointed voice that could change your life, you will fight it? I've watched people do that all of my life. I mean, I've been in Pentecost since I was born and raised in this thing. And I've seen it all of my life. People will fight the very anointed voice that could lift them out of the mess. And they'll run around trying to find everyone to agree with their concept, because they know it excuses them from any kind of responsibility. I don't have to do anything right because of this and that and the other. And they fought him. They did everything they could to stop him. And yet he walked with such a peace, he didn't care whether you liked him or not. He didn't care what you thought about him. And he didn't care if you walked away. He just lived by the open hand. You come to him, you don't want it, praise God, love you. Go on. That's what you want. He said, he healed him and said, go thy way. I mean, he's the only one that said, that wouldn't say, if I was going to heal somebody, I would say, hey, we need to talk about this. You need to join my group. And Jesus just healed him and said, go your way. Don't tell nobody about it. And they went and couldn't keep their mouth shut. I'm free. I'm free. When you are free, you can't stop talking about it. If you really are bad, and I'm sorry, please don't misunderstand me. I know some of you got your crutches and you have protected them and you've got God all over them and you've got everything. You worship them. You got your crutches of why you can't do nothing for God and why God can't move in your life. And I know that I'm messing with all those crutches, and I can feel it here today. I'm messing with all those crutches. But I'm going to tell you right now, in the name of Jesus, I want to show you the master concept. If you can bow your knee and he has the preeminence, there is nothing. I said there is nothing. If you go back in history, even recent history, and you find all the great revivals that Jesus did in Wales, that Jesus did in other countries where the Holy Ghost was being poured out when it first started around the turn of the century, there were people that were invalid in their beds that could not move, but they could pray. And while they prayed in their beds and they went around the clock and they fasted in their beds, God began to break open the stony ground. God began to open up the prison doors. I would somebody would say, I'm climbing out of this mess. I don't know how, but I know God. I'm going to get on those stairs and I'm going to ascend. I wish somebody would say, if Jesus came out of his grave. You know, who does this? Jesus is hunted, persecuted, knowing he's about to die because he has foreknowledge. And he turns to his disciples, my peace I leave with you. Who does that? In the world, everybody else says, "Who's get an army together? Get your we're fixing to take care of this mess." Everybody except Jesus, my peace I leave with you. My peace. Who does that sort of thing? You got to be nuts to do that. And yet he submits to the death on the cross, and he's not even bothered by it. He takes care of his mama. He says, John, I just want to show you who your new mama is. Mama, I want to show you who your new son is. John, take care of her, okay? I'm going to die. All right. He was in despair. Father, why have you forsaken me? And then turns around and says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Who in their right mind does that? He wants to say, I'm fixing to resurrect, and when I do, y'all watch out. I'm coming back, and I'm going to take care of all of you. But he didn't. He sent his disciples, those crazy fishermen. Those couldn't get it right fishermen who didn't even have it down pat, but God filled them with the Holy Ghost. And Simon Peter, who could not stand before Jesus in a courtyard with the fire burning, and them accusing him of being a Galilean and could not confess Christ, stood up in front of all the Pharisees and said, do your worst, but in the name of Jesus. He didn't preach Buddha, and he didn't preach some enlightenment self-help book. What he preached is that master concept. He was dead, but now he's alive, and he's living in my heart. And that's what I've come to tell everybody in this house. Jesus is alive. He was dead, and now he's living in my heart. And he can lift you above every concept. He can lift you above every chain. He can lift you above every sin. I wished I could describe it to you how it works, but I can't. All I can do is read you the text. Every knee shall bow. Why? That he might have the preeminence. That's what David understood about God. Go ahead and stand. It's what David understood about God. Whether didn't make any difference what Absalom did or Shimei said, He knew if God wanted to do a work, he didn't need either Absalom or Shimei's voice to do it. Didn't need it. Don't have to have it. Sorry. And please, and I say it again because I don't want you to misunderstand. I love every one of you. Every one of you are precious to me. But when the final word is spoken, Jesus is the boss. And it really doesn't matter what anybody else says. He's the boss. And you know how bosses are when they make a decision and you don't like it, there ain't a whole lot you can do about it but hit the door. And I'm going to be honest with you too. Jesus has made some decisions in my life but I'm kind of like Simon Peter said, where am I going to go if I don't come to you? And I don't mean to be ugly toward anybody, but if what we preach is not right, then there is nothing that is preached on this planet that is right. If this is not truth, then there is no truth. But let me say it so hell can hear me. I know you believe this, you're here, but I'm just simply declaring to you so that all of hell will know, everything under the earth, Jesus is. Let me say it again, and he will have the preeminence. If I do Philippians chapter 2 in my life, I have to bow the knee. I have to confess with my mouth that he is Lord. That means I got to submit everything to him. Everything. Everything. If you get this, it'll change you forever. And there will never be anything that will stop you if you keep doing it. You don't just do it one time. You keep doing it. And when somebody fusses over here, you do it again. And when somebody over there rises up, you do it again. You just keep doing it. I just learned to do it in my rule of five. It's really a rule of 10 now. But I didn't want to go 10 because y'all can't get 5 yet. You're working on it. You got 1.3. Well, that's good. I'm glad. I'm not on you. I'm just trying to get you with the 1.3, okay? But really, every day, you do the same thing. You let him have the preeminence. Every day. Every day, bow your knee to him. Now, I don't know what's limiting you today, but I want to open this altar to anybody that has heard this message and receives this word. I want you to step forward, and I want you to receive what the Lord would do for you, because whatever concept has grasped you, whatever idea has held you captive, that idea is neither God. I'm not saying it can't hold you back, but it is not God. And it is not necessarily true. It's true that it's holding you back, but it's not true that it can keep you down. I want you to step out all over this building. God wants to minister to you, everybody. You want to be free from the shackles You want to be free from the shackles. This magnificent Jesus. I wished I could describe some of those moments when God has visited me. When I did the Philippians chapter 2 thing, I wished I could describe them. Wished I could. I don't know how. I wished I could describe to you when I've seen God do the Colossians thing. I've watched. I've just sat back in awe. And I've also seen him leave me in the mix and leave me in the fire and watch me cook a little while because he wanted me to simmer a little while so I would be transformed, so I would be changed, so I could become what he wanted me to be. I didn't understand it, and I didn't like it. But I submitted to it, and I bowed my knee to it. And I said, okay, God, I don't know what you're doing, but it's all right. There's no other place for me to go than to you. You're it. Amen. And when you get the key and he becomes everything, then everything else. I know very well that there are some things God's not going to let me do in my lifetime. The clock is ticking. And I know that there are some things I'm not going to get to do. But that's all right. I can train somebody else to go do what I can't do. It's all right. Because I'm going to bow my knee. Because the work will go on. Work goes on. Jesus, he's God in every generation. 30 centuries, 60 centuries are looking down on you. It's all about Jesus. And he will have the preeminence. He's going to have it. And if I can bow, then I can reap the benefit of that. And I can receive the fullness of the Godhead that is in him bodily. Full. That means he does not lack a single divine resource, not one. He has access. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And I just got so inspired by that story, Jesus, even though I wanted to go up there and correct a few things, I got so inspired. That's the master concept that trumps everything. That's it. Jesus is God. But you've got to come to that reality in your own life. It can't just be a concept or a theology. It's got to be real in your heart. So what I want you to do right now, we're going to repent together. I want you to lift your hand and say, God, I don't want any concept. I don't want nothing limiting me. I want you to have the preeminence. Now, you can choose what you want to do in my life. I'm not going to tell you what to do. I just want to be free from anything I've created. If you don't do that, you bow down to an image that will become a master. And a cruel taskmaster at that. And it will bind you. But if you free yourself from that, if you free yourself and just go to him, run to him. Go ahead. I want to hear a repentant heart. I want to hear a cry come up from this audience. God, I bow my knee to you. Kaya Rabo Sandabalalalia. I bow my knee to you, Jesus. I give my worship to you, Lord. And whatever you choose, that you might have in all things the preeminence above it all. Glory to God in the name of Jesus. Right now, right now, go ahead. I want you to pray. I want you to call upon him. Now, what I want you to do is I want you to pray. You've repented. I want you to pray. I free you, Lord, in my life. I liberate you in my life to do your God thing, to take preeminence.
We hope you enjoyed this message. Please reach out to us if you have any questions. We can be found at firstpent.org. That's firstpent.org. If you're ever in Pensacola, Florida, we hope you visit us. Be blessed in Jesus' name.